Thanks for joining me today. I hope that you're having a godly day thus far, one in which you have spent time thinking about the living God. And when we get together each weekday, I want to make sure that I prompt you to consider the being and the ways of God such that you're challenged from the Scripture to consider who God is. And because God is complex, we have to be willing to engage our minds in this task. The average mind is highly underutilized today. Specifically, Christian people are generally not thinking people anymore. I'm afraid the culture we live in has successfully dumbed us down. But I believe those of you joining me have the capacity to consider deeply the Lord God. Therefore, this ministry will not be light, but rather will be heavy, and sometimes very heavy. It's not that you cannot understand what we're discussing. I'm confident you can, but it is that you have to engage, expending some mental energy that perhaps not every other broadcast that you turn on requires of you. Of course, I'd like for as many people to tune into God Is as is possible, because I think what I have to say will be of immense value to you. But I also do not want to do what everyone else is doing, kind of being devotional or a thought for the day, overly pragmatic about God and the Bible. So much of that is already available to you on radio, the internet, and the television. What I hope to do here most weeks is to deepen your understanding of God in ways that others are perhaps not doing. And from the feedback I'm getting, this is exactly what's happening as we discuss the self-existence of God. For some of you, this is the first time you're hearing about this aspect to the nature and character of Holy God. Good, because you've got to know this about Him. So let's press on. But let me just say that if you have questions or if something that I have said is not clear, write to me. All questions are good questions, and I will respond. My email address and my brand new mailing address will be given at the end today. Get out your writing utensil now and prepare to jot those down when we come to them later. And please do write. I look forward to hearing from you. As we come back to Exodus 3, verse 14 today, let me remind you that we come to the name of God that God Himself gives to His servant Moses. Exodus 3, verse 14 reads this way, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The name of God is I am. It's three letters and two words, and this speaks of the essence of the being who is the eternal and everlasting God. Now, in the Hebrew, the language of the Jewish people and the language of the Old Testament, I am is translated as Yahweh. In Hebrew, this is called a tetragrammaton, which simply means that four Hebrew consonants, when transliterated into English, come out as YHWH. And when we sound that out, we get Yahweh. This is God's name for Himself, and it is used over 6,800 times in the Bible. And here is what else you need to know about how this name appears in the Bible. It reads as Lord. And it does so because the Jewish people, after the Babylonian exile that we read about in the Old Testament, treated the name of Yahweh with such reverence and respect that they stopped saying the name altogether. And so in its place, they use the pronunciation Adonai, or we can say, as the English text does, Lord. Furthermore, and stick with me here, all of us should know this, the name Jehovah comes out of Exodus 3, verse 14, and I am. So that when we talk about God's name as Jehovah, that also takes us right back to this verse. So you can see why in a discussion about who God is, I have to deal with this very important passage, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Get it circled in your own Bible. And what does I am, Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah mean? It means God is, or God will be. It means that God is self-existent. His being is within His being. God always was. God always is. God always will be. God is past. God is present. And God is future. The theologian Augustine put it this way. I'm quoting Augustine now. God is supreme essence. Nothing better can exist or can be thought. God, above whom there is nothing, outside of whom there is nothing, apart from whom there is nothing. Supreme life, supreme truth, supreme blessedness, supreme wisdom, supreme essence. That's Augustine on the self-existent God. And he's right. Philo of Alexandria, the famous first century philosopher, Old Testament scholar, and the Hellenistic Jew who lived in Alexandria, Egypt, at the time of Christ, emphasized the name Yahweh as being connected to God's self-existence. Philo called God He Who, or that which has being. And other theologian philosophers that you may or may not have heard of, Origen, Athanasius, and John of Damascus speak of God as essence, as He who has being, He who has the source of His existence in Himself, that which has being. I want to make certain you see the connection between the name God gives for Himself, I Am, and His self-existence. Yesterday, we were helped in our understanding of this name by pastor, radio Bible teacher, and author in the last century, Theodore Epp. And today, I reach out to another friend, he of even an earlier time, the Dutch Reformed theologian Herman Bavinck. He joins us on God Is from time to time because he's so good. You will hear me quote from him regularly. He's written a whole systematic theology. It's thick. It's called Reformed Dogmatics, and I guarantee most of you will never, ever read it. The title itself just put many of you to sleep. But the superb publisher Banner of Truth has published a much slimmer and easier-to-read volume called The Doctrine of God. It's Bavinck's best on this important doctrine or teaching of our faith. The translator is William Hendrickson. You may be interested in reading this. That's why I mention it, and I will link to this on God Is WEZE on Facebook. That's God Is WEZE on Facebook. You can check it out there today. Now, in case you were shouting at your radio, who cares? Come on, Swallow, get to your point. All right, let's go. I just want to make certain that you are equipped with biblical truth, and I get very excited about solid theologians who have correctly interpreted the Bible and are sitting right there on the bookshelf, ready to be our teachers. The teacher in me wants to pass on to you these resources. I feel like that's part of my responsibility to you, my dear friends. All right now, what does Herman Bavinck say about God's name, I Am? He also connects the name I Am to God's self-existence. Furthermore, he says something that really makes us think. He writes that the self-existence of God, quote, may be called the primary attribute of God's being. This description of the being of God is to be preferred above that of love, personality, fatherhood, because in it all God's attributes are included, and by it they are all ascribed to God in the absolute sense, unquote. Now let me make sense of this for you. A lot of times you will hear Christians and others talk about the attributes of God. They refer to attributes like love, mercy, grace, patience, power, and holiness. And all of those are true of God. But what our friend Bavinck is saying is that the primary attribute of God, the hub in the wheel of God's existence from which all the other spokes come out, is His self-existence. Because out of His existence flows His being. That's the theology of it. But let's end today with a practical implication for us, shall we? It's this. Our response to the self-existent God must be to worship Him. I believe this with all my heart for every single one of us. I certainly believe this for those of us in Christ who believe in Jesus by faith for the forgiveness of our sins. And I believe this for those of you who are outside of Christ. That is, you have rejected Christ as the one who can forgive you of your sins. Today, at this hour, every person alive on this planet should drop to their knees, flat on our faces, in outright worship of the one and only God who exists, who lives, and who is alive. Alive forevermore. I concur with Paul in his words to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. God who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Oh yes, God is worthy of our worship and of our praise and of our admiration. No other being is. His being demands our very being. His existence demands our very existence. We ascribe to him the greatness due his name. I am Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah, Lord. Oh, the names of God. Worship God today. It is time for us to put away all our technological devices, to take out our earphones, to shut off the TV and the computer and the iPad and tablet. It is high time we put down that game. The time is now to lock ourselves in a room if we must, to take a day off work, to put the kids to bed early, to cancel a lunch and dinner date, and to go outside where it's peaceful and quiet and bow down and worship the self-existent one. It is time to open the book of the Psalms and to read aloud to God of his greatness. Do this today. Do this now. Do not delay. If you're driving, cry out to God right there on the highway and on the road through town and tell him of his excellence. Cry out to God with a voice of praise. Come on now, join me in praise to God. This is how we respond to what we have been learning. I'm convinced of it. And should you not know God because you do not have a relationship with Christ, then do not delay in doing this. Write to me today and ask, how can I know Christ? I will answer you right away. And when you join me again tomorrow, we're going forward into the New Testament and the life of Christ to learn one more way that we can respond to God who is self-existent. So please, I invite you again to worship the living God today and then come along tomorrow and join me as together we continue to learn who God is.